Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to dominate your fantasy football league. FF Toolbox presents The Takeover with the fantasy executive, Corey Parson.
So what's up and welcome into The Takeover, Scout Army. It is time to talk some fantasy sports with your boy, the fantasy executive, Corey Parson. You can follow me on Twitter at the Fantasy Exec. Of course, follow Scout Fantasy on Twitter at Scout Fantasy. A lot of good stuff going on. We may not have football being played on the field right now. I know we got a big fantasy football listener base out there. The NBA is winding down. Still got DFS baseball, season-long fantasy baseball rocking. Got you all covered right there on Scout Fantasy. Plus plenty of good stuff coming up. But last night, we banged the gavel on the 2016 NFL season. Rosters will be set in the next couple of days. Got my man Mark Morales-Smith with me. We're going to recap the first round, look ahead to some of the things we could see this weekend as we get prepared for fantasy football in 2016. And Mark, I want to hop right in and jump right to it. I've done one draft completed so far, and I have another draft that's currently in progress. Both drafts, Ezekiel Elliott, former Ohio State University running back, the Ohio State University, and now a member of America's team, the Dallas Cowboys. He gets to go and tote the rock behind the rebirth of the Great Wall of Dallas, the second coming of the best offensive line in the NFL. Well, back in the 90s, they had a good thing going there, too. Now they got this big, great offensive line right now, too. Best run-blocking offensive line in the NFL. Now you introduce a three-down running back, catch the football out of the backfield, not to mention the fact he's not going to get any snaps taken away from him near the goal line. You know what the Cowboys want to do. They want to run the football, protect that defense, protect the aging, broken Tony Romo. After I've been in, he's been third-round draft pick. Last night, I heard a lot of fantasy analysts saying he's a definite, surefire, mid-second-round guy. Mark, this is a first-round fantasy back.
I mean, I want to first start by saying I do not like this pick for the Cowboys.
You want to? You think
Jalen Ramsey is going to pick? From a real-life standpoint, I don't like this pick. When you have that line, you don't need an elite back. They should have taken Jalen Ramsey was there. The defense has holes that I don't like.
A lot of holes on
personally.
The defense. I agree with you more on that.
But, I mean, Ezekiel Elliott, as long as he's immediately a three-down back, is a surefire, you know, a surefire fantasy back. Whether it's he's still a rookie, so I'd probably wait till round two personally. But I can completely understand why people would take him in round one, and the upside is there. But you got to, they still do have McFadden and Morris, and he may be eased in a little bit. I mean, he's
now,
much better than
McFadden and Morris, listen, Morris is – now, I think Morris is a good back. I don't think McFadden has another 16 games left in him. He's done 16 in back-to-back seasons. I don't think he has 16 left in him this upcoming year.
I don't either.
Don't get me wrong. The offensive line is great.
I'm with you on that.
I don't think he has 16 in him. I think when you take a player like this, like Elliott, at four, with – let me say, people say the best player on the draft in Ramsey sitting there for you, I really don't think that this is a timeshare situation. I think this is a three-down running back right here that they want to pound the rock, take the pressure off Romo, control the clock, take the pressure off the defense, play time of possession, and run it that way. Now, listen, I agree. You're in a division that has Odell Beckham Jr. that you have to go against him twice. You probably need a guy like Jalen Ramsey because the cast is out there now not getting done. Brandon Carr, Maurice Claiborne, talk about bust. But I think there is something to taking a defensive back that early in the draft. A lot of the DBs really don't work out. I mean, of course, you had the Hall of Famers and Charles Woodson and other guys like that, Patrick Patterson and stuff like that getting it done. But you also have the failures like Mo Claiborne.
Yeah, but Ramsey is a special athlete. He's like a once every 5 years type athlete at the position. He's that guy, I think. Personally, I think I would have taken him first overall if I had the first overall pick. If I was on best available, I think he was the guy to take. Him, I would have had Tunsil too, who fell to my Dolphins thanks to his gas mask post.
I want to get into that after we talk about Elliott. That's going to be my next thing.
But, I mean, Elliott, from a fantasy perspective, there's nothing not to like. This is the dream fantasy, you know, the dream fantasy scenario for anyone looking to draft a rookie this year. I don't care if it's a quarterback, receiver, run, this is the guy that – This is what people have been waiting for the last 2 years as they every running back was rumored to go to the Cowboys.
that has been the case for the past couple of seasons. Now, the reason why I said he's a surefire first rounder, because I think Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley, David Johnson. I don't trust Adrian Peterson.
No, not in PPR
league. Let's say Peterson is that's four first-round running backs. I have Elliott right now, without playing a down in the NFL, as RB5 coming off the board in the fantasy draft this year. I'm putting him ahead of Lamar Miller. I'm putting him ahead of C.J. Anderson. I'm putting him ahead of McCoy. I'm putting him ahead of Murray. I'm putting him ahead of all of those guys besides those four I just named right there.
I put him right there with Lamar Miller, I would say. McCoy's getting older, getting injury-prone. Carlos Williams is there. You know how I feel about DeMarco Murray. I don't even consider him. He won't even be on my draft board.
Okay.
Yeah, C.J. Anderson has his ups and downs. So, I mean, I see the argument, but there's also a lot of receivers going in the first round.
That's true.
I mean, Gronk has to go at tight end. And, you know, Julio's going. Brown is going. Yeah, I think so. He's so much better than every other tight end. It gives you such an advantage if you have him.
But you don't think I think it's a disadvantage. When you look at your roster, don't get me wrong, the numbers are there, the stats are good, but you're still, especially when we play in the FFWC, the Fantasy Football World Championship, you're rostering three wide receivers to start every Sunday. When you take a guy like Gronk first, don't get me wrong, the numbers are there, they have been there, injuries no longer that much of a major concern, but it blows a tremendous hole in your roster when you don't get one of those top-notch wide receivers right off the bat.
No, I understand what you're saying. I completely understand. But from my point of view, I look at it as not how good are you overall, how much better are you than the next person that you're going to put in your lineup.
Agreed.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, you could look at it either way. I think Gronk is around pick 8 to 12, though. I wouldn't take him in the top,
no worries with
in the top
Tom Brady
6 or 7. But no, I think if anything, I don't think it's going to hurt Gronk at all. He's the one guy on the team besides Randy Moss that has ever made Tom Brady better. You know, not counting linemen, obviously. He's the one guy that makes Brady better. So he comes in, you get Garoppolo in. He's a huge body. He's pretty much a safety blanket now. You're just going to, if when you're in trouble and you're a young quarterback, you're just throw it to Gronk.
Is there any, and I'm not trying to be cute by saying this, but, you know, we always hear that. I kind of look at it now as like urban legend. Young quarterback is going to talk to the tight end. A young quarterback, the tight end is a young quarterback's best friend. Is there any evidence to support that?
I think I don't think it's the tight end necessarily. I think it's they tend to rely on one target, and they go to their best guy when they're in trouble, and they'll just throw it to him. I mean, if you're in Houston, it's DeAndre Hopkins. If you're in New England, it's Gronk. If you're, you know, wherever you are, I think it's more your number one top guy, especially if it's a big guy that you can throw it up to. Not so much the tight end necessarily.
To think about that, I go back to Andrew Luck's rookie year when Reggie Wayne caught 200 passes or something like that. He was constantly targeting Reggie Wayne before Reggie Wayne fell off the cliff and took that dip. Now, no longer in the league, but definitely is a guy that's going to be in the Hall of Fame shortly. Before we get into this Tunsil thing, you're a Dolphin fan. I know you do some work for the Dolphins site over on Scout. Scout Fantasy Football is here. We got the draft right now. There are games in the lobby. $35 Scout Starter Leagues, Draft and Go, Optimal Lineup Set. All you're doing is drafting, getting ready for the upcoming season. Draft and Go is $99. in the lobby right now. Once again, get started drafting right now. So when you sit down at the table for the Fantasy Football World Championship in Las Vegas in September, you'll be well aware of the player pool, and you won't have no worries come draft day. So hop in there right now. Get ready to get things started. That is playffwc.com or Play Scout Fantasy. There's also another URL you can use to get over there. Now, last night, as I'm watching the draft, and this Tunsil story is breaking, a couple things immediately came to my mind. Where did he get that bong, number one? Number two, why the hell is there a Confederate flag behind him? But I guess it's the Ole Miss Rebel Pride flag. But still, you know, even if I'm an Ole Miss athlete, I'm not going to be sitting in front of that Rebel Pride flag or have it in my room. He could have been in somebody else's room or whatever the case may be, but still.
Yeah. Well, he was in high school when it was taken, they said.
That's what they're saying. And that's what I'm coming to you with. Exactly. If it was in high school, why is that Rebel flag there in the first place? That's very awkward to me, but, you know, there's been a history of that with some SEC athletes, so. But that's a different podcast altogether. But still.
Yeah, the South is a whole different story down there.
Yeah, exactly. Where did he get the gas mask bong from? Why the hell was that Rebel flag sitting there in the background? And number three, who would likely do this to Tunsil? And I think the people that benefited the most had to be the people that do it, that did it. The people that benefited the most were the Miami Dolphins. I think the Miami Dolphins had something to do with this.
They're saying, I think he's getting sued by his stepdad right now.
Yes. That is
or
happening.
Beating him up. And some people are saying that his stepdad may have been able to answer the, you know, the questions you have to answer to change your password.
Yes.
And gone in and uploaded the video. Obviously, I don't know. I don't know what happened. None of us know what happened. But that seems like the most likely scenario. I can't imagine the Dolphins would go in and hack an account and do that. I can't imagine any team would do that. Imagine how much trouble you would get in if you got caught doing that as a team. I mean, they're taking away first round picks for deflated footballs. I mean, you can't do that. So I don't think the Dolphins had anything to do with it, or any other team for that matter. And I mean, they still, you wouldn't take that risk, especially when you don't know he's going to fall to you. He could have easily still got picked inside the top 13. So
I think this whole thing, I think 10 years from now, they're going to look back at this marijuana thing with professional athletes and be like, how stupid was this?
Yeah.
Why
is it? Well, once it's legal and everyone,
why
you know, once it's legal.
$7-8 million behind marijuana. College students using marijuana at that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, right now, that's a whole separate issue. One day, I mean, it's going to be legal sooner than later. It's clearly coming. They're taking baby steps, but they're getting there. And right now, it's more of a, you know, Roger Goodell wants you to follow his rules, and he's going to enforce them no matter what, because that's the kind of guy he is. So he's not going to bend on anything.
But as a Dolphin fan, how do you feel about being able to grab Tunsil there? Because you know what? I was looking like maybe it's a situation like Lyle Collins last year, where he just falls out the draft altogether, and the Cowboys get him for nothing. And I'm thinking, if this guy falls to the second round, you know what? Let's add another one of these big, great offensive linemen. But the Dolphins go and scoop him up at 13. Give me the scouting report on Tunsil, and is he immediate help to the Dolphins' backfield?
He's dominant. I mean, he's an all-pro caliber tackle. That's why most people, before people started trading up, had him going first overall. And you look at the Dolphins' offensive line right now, it all of a sudden goes from bad to a healthy Brandon Albert. You got Juwan James, Laremy Tunsil, Marquise Pouncey, and Jermon Bushrod. It's all of a sudden a really scary line with huge dudes on it. I mean, you have an all-pro left tackle, a first overall pick caliber tackle, who I'm not sure, they're saying Albert might move inside or Tunsil might. You got Juwan James, who's been very good. You got Bushrod, who's a former Pro Bowler, and Pouncey, who might be the best center in the league, if not top three. So all of a sudden that line looks good, and you got Ajayi back there, which I couldn't have been happier when Elliott went.
So you think this is because listen, I'm on the clock in the slow draft right now, and I'm looking at Duke Johnson, and I'm looking at Ajayi. Who's the
PPR?
Point per reception.
really close. I mean, Duke Johnson is going to catch more passes, but he's not an every down back. He's a Gio Bernard type. I mean, I'm a Hurricane fan, so I love him, and I think he could be an every down back because he's much better between the tackles than people give him credit for. But Crowell is there, and they like giving, you know, I don't know what the Browns are doing. Especially Hugh Jackson likes going with multiple backs. He likes running two back systems. So, I mean, I would take Ajayi. He's an every down back. He's a great pass catcher. He's great on the goal line. There's just more more upside there. Not the home run upside, but the big play.
Is he a top 24 fantasy back in 2016?
Top 15.
Wow. I like the sound of that.
Watch him at Boise State. People get caught up with that, oh, he may or may not have a knee injury. That was something that they're worried about, his longevity down the road. His numbers are right up there with Ezekiel Elliott at Boise State. He's a better pass catcher than Elliott. He's a better goal line runner than Elliott. He just doesn't have that breakaway speed for the huge runs. But
I know last week we spoke
back.
A little bit. Go ahead. I know last week we spoke a little bit about the quarterbacks. It kind of played out how we expected it to play out. Now that they're on the team, it's official and signed. Everything is done. The ink is dry. Wentz and Goff go 1-2. How do you feel about those two picks?
I mean, I wouldn't have taken a quarterback there, but once you give up all those picks, you have to. But at least the Rams didn't mess it up. They didn't mess up an already bad situation. But last week when we talked, I told you I was worried about Wentz. He's not going to get a fair shot because there's no patience. And he needs time. He's not going to get that time. And there's nowhere worse to need time than Philadelphia.
No, that's tough right there.
He's gonna struggle for a while. Where he could be good eventually, but he's going to struggle for a while. And you can't struggle in Philadelphia. They'll throw snowballs at your grandma if she's wearing a different jersey.
And I've been in that stadium before.
Me too.
I went neutral. I went to see them play the Seahawks. Me being a Cowboy fan, I went neutral. I knew they wasn't gonna have me coming up in there with that star on my helmet, on my hat. But I went neutral, you know, black hoodie, you know what I'm saying, black Scully.
Yeah.
Saw them play the Seahawks a couple years ago. Seahawks went in there and dragged them on their way to an NFC Championship. These quarterbacks, more Mark Sanchez or more, middle of the road NFL quarterback type. I don't want to say Eli Manning. He's won two championships. More Mark Sanchez or more just solid, average, every damn NFL starter?
These two?
These two.
I think Goff definitely has the upside. It's hard because his offensive line and his team were so bad at Cal. Like, they were terrible aside from him. So Goff definitely has you. Like, it wouldn't be that shocking if Goff comes out and is really good. Wentz, I see more as like a middle of the road guy. I'd say Joe Flacco maybe, with not as big an arm, but a little more, but more athletic.
You know, it's hard to say Joe Flacco though, because Flacco
he's not built like him, but he's a guy that went to Delaware. You know what I mean? He's a smaller school guy who has been successful, but isn't great.
But Joe Flacco has that assassin mentality. He can go into Denver and knock off Peyton Manning. He can go into Foxborough and knock off Tom Brady. He can go down to he can go into Pittsburgh and knock off Ben Roethlisberger. Flacco has that assassin mentality. I don't know if one of these two quarterbacks has that.
Wentz is looked at, viewed as a winner. He played, he played great in his championship games, came back from, he had a broken wrist, something with his hand. I think he had a broken wrist, came back, played great in the championship game. He worries me. I just think he's not going to have the time he needs to develop in Philly. So, I mean, I think he'll be pretty much end up like a Mark Sanchez, pretty much bouncing around the league, because after 2 or 3 years, they're just going to give up on him.
The Chargers select Joey Bosa, defensive end, third overall. Cowboys pass on Ramsey, take Ezekiel Elliott. Ramsey goes to the Jaguars at 5. Then we get Ronnie Stanley to the Ravens. They get their tackle. DeForest Buckner, defensive end from Oregon. Chip doing what Chip does, going to get one of his guys, Jack Conklin, Leonard Floyd, Eli Apple to the Giants. A lot of Giants fans upset about this pick. Do they have a right to be?
I mean, I think there were better corners available. I had him, I had Hargraves above him, William Jackson, Artie Burns above him, and Mackenzie Alexander above him. So, I mean, but it's all a matter of opinion with him. He has the talent. I would have liked him around outside of the top 20, but he's a first-round talent. He's a corner, so, you know, that's pretty much how your scouts view him, I guess. They want a big, tall – he kind of reminds me of Brandon Browner, though.
Yeah.
Like, you watch him, and he has the physical talent. He's a big, long guy, but he's just so aggressive and always getting penalties, and he needs to fix – his technique's not great. He's going to need work, but the talent's there, so I wouldn't jump off the ledge yet. Joey Bosa, though, that might have been the worst pick of the first round.
A lot of people are very high on Bosa, and a lot of people are saying, no, this guy's not that good.
I don't – he doesn't have the quickness to get around the edge against NFL left tackles. He can be like an Olivier Vernon type who sets the edge and plays well, but not third overall. I had him sixth, I believe, of all defensive ends, where most people had him one or two. I just don't see it. I feel like J.J. Watt's successful. We won the J.J. Watt. He is a big white guy. I feel like it's a very lazy comparison because he's big and white that they're comparing him to J.J. Watt.
No, well, you can't do that because J.J. Watt is, I mean, when you talk
he's
about
freak.
Yeah, when you talk about the best athletes right now, I think you got to start with, I think it's three in the conversation, Cam Newton, LeBron James, and J.J. Watt, and I don't see Joey Bosa in the same mix as that.
I agree. I put Gronk in there, too.
Okay.
Gronk's in there. I think I would say the only guy that can cover Gronk is the quarterback for the Panthers. That's it. It's the only guy that can cover Gronk in the league, the quarterback for the Panthers. No one else matches up with him. So,
Takeover right here on Scout Fantasy. Got my man, Martin Rousseff, with me. I'm Corey Parsons, fantasy executive. Going through round one in the NFL draft, as we get a little bit of time, we'll look ahead to what's going to happen the rest of the weekend, trying to get you ready for fantasy football in 2016. Let's hop right to the Cleveland Browns draft pick of Corey Coleman. So you have Corey Coleman, you have Robert Griffin III, you have Josh Gordon, so it looks like they're putting they may hire Art Browse and do the whole the Baylor thing all over again. Coleman projects, his projection for the NFL is John Brown from the Arizona Cardinals. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, he's a big play guy. He's a great athlete. He's explosive. I mean, the Baylor receivers kind of have to worry you just because of the offense they play in and their route trees are somewhat limited. But, I mean, the talent's there. I mean, look at Josh Gordon. You know, as physically, look at Josh Gordon.
Yeah.
He's in. And people should not compare Coleman to Josh Gordon. That's not fair. He has no character issues, really. So that I'm already seeing those comparisons on Twitter and Facebook. That's not fair. This kid's done nothing wrong. So just because he went to the same school as Josh Gordon, he went to the Browns, he shouldn't be compared to him. At least not from a bust standpoint. But, I mean, athletically, he has it. I liked a few other receivers better. But I like Doxson better. I like Treadwell better. A few other guys, but I mean, Coleman, he's a good player. You can see it wasn't a reach to take him or anything.
Looking at that roster, especially the wide receivers, Andrew Hawkins, Brian Hartline, and a whole bunch of other Brian Hartline, Andrew Hawkins type guys. Taylor Gabriel. Is he a starter? Week one, is he a starting wide receiver for the Cleveland Browns?
Well, yeah, if not, Brian Hartline is. So he better be.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say he has to. Like, yeah, you go Brian Hartline out there when he's – first, now he's not even young anymore, and he hasn't done anything there. And I don't know. I think part of it is RG3 and Coleman are both from Baylor. They ran similar offenses. That could help. I mean, yeah, he has to be a starter. If Josh Gordon's there, they could go Gordon and Coleman. I don't think he's going to be there. There's no way you're starting Hartline over a first-round pick, though.
You don't think Gordon's in Cleveland? You think Gordon plays this year?
I don't think he plays week one. He might come back eventually. But now he's involved with Johnny Manziel, and he was at that party where everything got destroyed after he failed more drug tests. So I don't see it.
I tell you what, you got to stay away. I'm almost 40 years old, and I wouldn't hang out with Johnny Manziel. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I'm going home, Johnny. I can't. I hang out with Tommy G, but not Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, no, I don't. I can't imagine he's going to play a full, even half the season. Like, maybe if he's really good from here on out, they let him back week 10 or something. It's hard to tell with Goodell because he just does whatever he wants. There's no rules.
Yep, he's the judge, jury, and executioner. That was a bad mistake by the players, by the NFLPA, allowing the players to sign that contract and more or less give Roger Goodell the power to do what he wants to do when it comes to matters of these nature. So 2021, that's probably something that's going to change when they sit down at the table and do some collective bargaining once again. But we don't have to worry about that for a few years now. We got football coming up. Pick 21, the Houston Texans. Will Fuller, wide receiver from Notre Dame, 6 feet, 186 pounds, side of DeAndre Hopkins. Or is this a project that we're going to have to see him? Because didn't Houston draft a rookie wide receiver? They drafted Jalen Strong last year.
Yeah, they drafted Jalen Strong. I mean, this guy always gets up in the first round. By this guy, I mean that small one-dimensional receiver that flies and runs like a 4.3 40. Every year, whether it's, you know, Rashad Perryman, Philip Dorsett, Darius Hayward Bay, this guy always makes it into the first round somehow. I think it's a very risky pick. He's a boom or bust guy. He has the upside and the speed to be. He has DeSean Jackson upside, but he also has that complete bust downside. He doesn't run great routes yet. He has questionable hands. So, if you watch him in Notre Dame, he's electric. It's just, there's a lot of questions.
This ain't Notre
Dame.
There's
a lot of downside and a lot of upside.
Yeah, and this is not Notre Dame, so he doesn't have Michigan State on the schedule this year out there for that team, for the Houston Texans.
He can outrun anyone on the field, though, for the most part. There's a few people maybe can't, but he can also get blasted off the line because he's tiny.
So, DeAndre Hopkins is the guy in the passing game in Houston. Lamar Miller is the guy in the backfield. I don't know if the fantasy value is going to be there for Fuller yet. I don't know if he can jump strong. Listen, people laugh at Cecil Shorts. Cecil Shorts can play.
Cecil Shorts is forever hurt, though, too.
That's true, too.
He is good.
Him,
he can play when he plays. He was good,
whatever
he was good in Jacksonville. He was good
play.
There. Yeah.
I don't know if I like this pick right here for the Texans.
I think they should have gone somewhere else. I would have liked to see them go with they could use someone else to help Watt, because it doesn't look like Clowney is going to be that guy. And there's some really good pass rushers still there. Like, even I have Emmanuel Ogba as the my number two defensive end. He didn't even get drafted. So, you can't go in. It's just going in with Clowney and Crick opposite Watt just isn't good enough. You got to get him some help. They're triple teaming the guy.
But
and he's still getting
his. Clowney can't miss. He was the best prospect to come out since Lawrence Taylor.
And then he had micro fracture surgery on his knee. He looked better last year, but I would, if nothing else, you can put him on the outside, stand him up, and then get another lineman. Even a tackle, there was great tackles available. Billings was still there. Will Fork isn't getting any younger.
No, he's not. All right, moving on to Washington. Do you remember a young man by the name of, I believe his name was Devin Thomas?
What year?
Same year they drafted Fred Davis. I think their draft was Fred Davis, Devin Thomas. They drafted three offensive playmakers. I don't think none of them are probably in the league anymore. Now they kick this kid Josh Doctson. Last year, I think they hit a home run with Jamison Crowder.
I loved Crowder coming out.
Hank Tom.
I was the one guy saying how good Crowder was after he ran that 40. You were a scout. I wrote all types of articles on him. Him and Carlos Williams were my guys.
And a couple of years from now, Jameson Crowder is going to be PPR goal in the fantasy leagues. He is an excellent, prototypical possession wide receiver. But you missed on Leonard Hankerson. You missed on Devin Thomas. I can't think of the other kid. He couldn't get on the field yet to stay with knee trouble. Fred Davis, terrible mistakes by Washington drafting.
I don't think they missed on Leonard Hankerson. Hankerson just couldn't get healthy. He showed this year. He was really good for the first half. He just has injury issues. He's good, though. I don't think that was a scouting mistake. I think that was just a string of bad luck.
Okay.
But
I'll tell you what.
I think Doxson was the best receiver in this draft, though. I had him ranked number one. And this is bad news for Pierre Garçon if he enjoys being employed, because I don't see him being employed with the Redskins much longer.
He makes it through this season, though, right? He's got the contract. Contract is up after this year.
I mean, it wouldn't be all that shocking. He's getting a lot of money, so maybe. But it wouldn't be all that shocking to see him move, like, tonight.
Really?
If anyone that's wide receiver needy misses out on wide receiver, then it's willing to take the contract, a team with cap room. Because, I mean, at this point, your contract's up next year. If you have the cap room, might as well sign him.
One-and-done type guy, get him for 1 year, more or less a rental player going into the 2016 season. And let's look at this Redskins, this Washington roster. And Mac Jones flashed at times last year, but not when he wanted for fantasy. He had the outlier game. Then he was kind of up and down and up and down, and you could never really think when to play him. He was a DFS darling for the guys that play in GPPs a couple of weeks. Never popped off except that 1 week. You have Crowder, who I like. Garçon and Jackson. Jackson is a wild card because injury concerns with him. They seem to think they have the quarterback in place.
I don't think so. He didn't beat anybody decent last year. Like, he got destroyed by the good teams. Dominated the terrible teams and was awful on the road. I think they beat one team. I don't think they beat one team above 500 all year. I think the Bills were 8-8. And that's the top team
they didn't beat a 500 team all season.
That's terrible. I think he sucks. I have him as my 10 worst quarterback in the league.
If I can get Colt McCoy at a discount, I could have did that.
I liked McCoy. I think McCoy never got a fair shot. He's not the guy either, but I don't know. I'm not with Cousins. I think he's going to get hopes high and then crush them this year.
I agree with you 100% on that one, but I think the kid Doxson is a player. Is he a player for fantasy owners this year? Is he a late round guy on draft day, or he's a guy to monitor? That he may pop off the waiver wire at some point during the season if injuries occur.
I would take a flyer on him. I think he's worth a flyer. He's that good. Like, he's talented. He does things that other receivers can't do. He has the body control. He can go up and fight for the ball, take it away, good hands. I think he could surprise people this year. The only concern is that, you know, who do you want? You want Jackson, Crowder, Garçon? There's a lot of mouths to feed in that passing game.
Not to mention Jordan Reed.
Oh, yeah, and Reed. He's another guy, though. I don't trust him. I won't draft him because he gets hurt every – there's no way he's playing 16 games. He scares me a lot.
And one of the drafting goals I'm in over on Scout Fantasy, you can hop over in the game log and you sign up for them right now. Jordan Reed went in the third round.
You can see why. I loved him coming out, and I drafted him the first two – I drafted him every year before last year. And he was great when he played, and then he just doesn't – you can't trust him. I try to avoid injury guys. I'm not the guy who takes the risk on the guy who you might steal late with injury problems.
I take the risk on injured players, but I don't know if I just can't with concussion guys.
He's a concussion away from being done altogether.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're absolutely correct. 100% he is. I wish we had a little more time. I only got about 10 minutes left. There's a lot of things I want to talk to you about. We'll get back together again next week and do it. Speaking of tight ends, I want to jump back to your Dolphins right quick. Adam Gase's offense is tight end friendly. And your man Jordan Cameron, whichever one it is.
Jordan Cameron.
Boy, I tell you what, this guy is going in the 16th, 17th round of drafts after that down year last year. I think he could be in line for a big bounce back season. He comes with the right price tag, and don't get me wrong, he's a concussion away too from being, you know, out the league. But
he's actually on his bad
on Cameron
though.
Than I would on. I'll take Cameron in 16 before I take Reed in 4.
Yeah, I mean, I want to start by saying that I'm not a fan of him, and I don't think he's all that good. But with that price tag and that coach who seems to love him, all he does is talk about how good he is and how he's misused. I mean, it makes sense. I would rather roll the dice on him, too, as I'd rather have him as a backup tight end with big upside with someone else in front of him. You know, draft someone, and, you know, you could draft someone round 12 and him in the 16th and then double up and play whichever one's better. I wouldn't trust him as my top guy. But, yeah, the upside is – you can't deny the upside there, especially with the way Gase is talking about him all offseason.
Exactly. 100% agree with you on that. With the 23rd pick in the draft, the Minnesota Vikings selected another Mississippi player, Laquon Treadwell, wide receiver, who last week was the top wide receiver in the draft. This week is like 3 wide receivers going ahead of him. Treadwell in Minnesota, you got Diggs. You got your guy, Charles Johnson. You got Cordero Patterson.
I like my guy. I just don't write him off completely.
I like Diggs. Charles Johnson is your property because he really hurt my feelings last season. Kyle Rudolph, I'm done with. We talked last week about Bridgewater and the intermediate routes not having a touch on the deep. Now you bring in Treadwell. Is Treadwell a starter for Minnesota week one?
Yes. Starter week one. He is a really good football player. He fell victim of a bad combine timing. He's really good. If you watch him play, he doesn't play slow. He has great hands, even though yesterday when he was drafted, they showed like the 5 drops he had in the last 2 years. Because you ever recognize how mean Gruden is at the draft and how he loves everyone on Monday Night Football?
No, it was unbelievable. The draft, he was talking about
He hates everyone at the draft and never says a bad word about anyone all year.
DeForest, the kid that went to San Francisco. I mean, they played this pick, and Gruden was like, look at this. This guy's getting blown up at the point of attack on every snap. And I'm like, his family is watching this. What are you doing, John?
All year he is raving about every player on Monday Night Football. He loves them all. The quarterbacks, at the quarterback camp, he loves all of them. Never gives one a bad grade, and the draft comes, and he hates everyone. I don't know.
The draft is a television event.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's a television event. I mean, you can do this in a hotel, behind closed doors, whatever, but the NFL has made this a spectacular television event, and props to them for that. So far, we got through a couple of these skill players, and we like Doxson, and we like Elliott, obviously. I think we also like Treadwell, too, right?
I like Treadwell. I'm very high on Treadwell. I thought he was – I had him second. I thought Doxson was a little bit better, had more upside at least, but Treadwell is a good football player. He's good at his position, which is way undervalued nowadays with the combine, the emphasis on the combine.
Last couple of minutes here on Scout Fantasy Takeover. Talking with Mark Morales-Smith, channeling over to Scout Fantasy, and the other side is Dolphins Insider, right? Is Finn's Insider?
Yeah. It's also Dolphins on Scout and on all the social medias.
Yep, I've seen the Dolphins on Scout on social media. I think I retweeted something from there last week. So
and
now
Dolphins
I'm
Report
at,
it's called on the over there.
Okay, Dolphins Report, I got it. And I'm glad we're talking about this right now because Treadwell, Scout starter draft that I'm in right now, Treadwell just went with the 11th pick of the 7th round. Laquon Treadwell, Minnesota Vikings wide receiver. He went over Stephon Diggs, Kamar Aiken, Rashad Matthews, Ted Ginn Jr., Sammy Watkins, Jamison Crowder, some guys, just to name a few. This definitely is DeSean Jackson, who I never touched, Devontae Adams, Green Beckham, Benson Jackson, Tavon Austin, all left on the board. Laquon Treadwell goes 7-11.
I mean, I like him better than Aiken and Ginn.
Aiken was a PPR monster last year.
Yeah, but they also everyone was hurt. Now they have Steve Smith back, they have Mike Wallace there, they might draft a guy. But I mean, that's expected though. Everyone, once something happens, once it's an injury, once someone gets traded, their value spikes way up. But it'll level out by the time. I wouldn't take him there now. If I'm drafting in August, I expect it to level out and he'll drop and digs will go up and
things will get back to normal. You know what I'm saying?
People react quickly. As soon as something happens. Like last year, Dwayne Bowe goes to the Browns. Ooh, he's the number one. Everyone's drafting Dwayne Bowe. Like, have you ever watched Dwayne Bowe play football? Why are you drafting
Dwayne Bowe five years ago, Dwayne Bowe let the league in yards.
Yeah, 5 years ago. And then he's been terrible since. Then he was on the only team that could possibly not have a receiver catch a touchdown in today's age of football.
That's crazy.
You know how bad Dwayne Bowe is? Dwayne Bowe had a chance to snap that record on the last day and fumbled on the 1 yard line and Travis Kelce picked it up in the end zone. That's Dwayne Bowe in a nutshell. That's who he is.
Oh my goodness. Sorry, Dwayne Bowe, but we gotta keep it 100 with you right here on Scout Fantasy Presents the Takeover. Looking forward to we only got about another couple minutes left. Looking forward to some of tonight's action. What should end going throughout the course of the weekend? What's some of the skill position players you think can have immediate fantasy value if they land in the right spot?
I really like the wide receiver from Rutgers, Leonte Carew.
Mm-hmm.
I love Sterling Shepard out of Oklahoma. I mean, the quarterbacks, I don't expect any of the quarterbacks to really have an immediate impact. I really like Booker from Utah, the running back. I like Howard a lot. The kid from Indiana, the running back Howard, is really good. He's kind of getting overlooked. I think he's better than Dixon from Louisiana Tech, who's going to go, most likely going to go above him. CJ Procise from Notre Dame has a ton of upside, just athletically. He was only a running back for 1 year. He's kind of like the Braxton Miller of running backs right now, but athletically has a ton of upside. Let me think. I don't love any of the tight ends. You still got Michael Thomas out there from Ohio State. He's a big dude. He can go up and get it. Great on 50-50 balls.
Michael Thomas, Youngstown boys, crazy this year. They're putting a lot of talent out there.
Braxton Miller could be, he'll probably go to, we know New England and Pittsburgh love drafting quarterbacks and making them receivers.
Yep.
He can go to one of them. Flash. Miller has all the athletic ability, but again, he's not, he's raw. Tyler Boyd from Pittsburgh is solid. I don't think he's up there with those other guys. But if I was going to say, I would say Devontae Booker, Leonte Carew, and Jordan Howard are my top three skill position players on the board right now.
Now, before we get ready to wrap up, got about 2 minutes left on the program. Denver Broncos, week 10, who's the quarterback?
Paxton Lynch.
Week 1, who's the quarterback?
Mark Sanchez.
I don't think Mark Sanchez is a bum. I'm one of the few guys walking that still believe in Mark Sanchez. I don't think Sanchez is a bum.
I mean, it depends how you define bum. I mean, he has a home. I can't withstand Sanchez. The issue with that team is you need a guy that's going to come in there and just all you need to do with that defense, as long as it doesn't take a huge step back after losing Trevathan and Jackson, is just don't be terrible like Peyton Manning was last year. Like, even he led the league in interceptions, they were still winning. But it's just Sanchez just has a knack for making the worst possible play at the worst possible moment. He's that guy.
Paxton Lynch should be the Denver Broncos starter by the time we hit the halfway point of this season. Mark Smith is the guy. Mark about to wrap it up right now. We'll get back next week and do some more talking. I want to thank everybody for listening to Scout Fantasy Presents Takeover. Hop in the draft lobby now and start getting ready for your draft.